Gopal Champu, Uttara section, chapter 1. Part 1. Satisfaction with Uddhava's arrival in Braj. Chapter 1. Attraction of Krishna and the Gopis. O Krishna, O Chaitanya, O Rupa and Sanatana, O Gopal, O Raghunath, O Balava, who has attained Braj, please protect me. I worship the Lord by whose mercy the first part was quickly completed, and the second part should also be completed. The first part was narrated in the order that the events occurred. There is a forest called Vrindavan which supplies all things necessary for pastimes. There, Krishna makes himself the object of realization for devotees filled with longing. Just as the sky is the shelter of the zodiac, just as the king is the shelter of Dharma, just as Vedas are the shelter of the discernment of truth, just as attainment of desire is the shelter of happiness, just as Ras is the shelter of Vibhav, Anubhav, Satvika Bhav, Vyabhichari Bhav, and Stai Bhav, just as Krishna is the shelter of six qualities and the shelter of Prema, just as Vaikuntha is the shelter of Narayana, Krishna is the shelter of all beings. In Vrindavana, Goloka exists, unseen by our eyes because of its power of invisibility. In Goloka, Krishna, playing the roles of son or friend in a suitable manner under the control of the devotees, does not deviate from that love. By his mere thought, like a touchstone, all actions are accomplished. He is never free of repaying the amassed debt of the fifth goal, the wealth of prema, of all persons living there in bliss. Though he exists there eternally, leaving Goloka with the residents and revealing himself as unequaled with great pleasure, the destroyer of demons gives joy to this universe. He enters like a divine dancer coming from the dressing room. Krishna entered Braj after killing Dantavakra, who had crooked teeth and who desired to kill the righteous, as it is revealed in evidence in the Padma Purana concerning the residents of Braj. At that time, Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta, the distinguished bards who had received the essence of association through the waves of the ocean of mercy of Narada, who was expert in bhakti and skillful in fulfilling more than one can desire, arrived at the house where Nanda, his son, and others were residing. According to the order given by Narada at that time, with great concentration, the two boys, most respectable, sounding like the music of a stringed instrument, revealed the pastimes of Krishna and Braj, which produce all happiness, while they exchanged questions and relevant points. Previously, the two maintained their lives by telling stories concerning Krishna's father and grandfather, and similarly maintained their life by fresh poetry filled with the beauty of Krishna's pastimes, just as one tells story about a person after his birth. They then related the wondrous pastimes of Krishna in order. Those pastimes will be recollected in order to show the later pastimes. Oh, by his mercy, Putana became a pure woman. The cart demon fell down like a grass mat. The whirlwind demon became loose like a pile of grass. The two Arjuna trees received mercy like Arjuna received. Vatsasura became small like a calf, and Baka became like a crane. Vyoma became like the air, vacant. Let the description stop here, but the stories are most remarkable. Aga became sinless. Kaliya, like a snake shedding its skin, became liberated with bhakti even while he was living. Spreading the fame of Balaram through his unique qualities, courageous Krishna made Danaka and Pralamba enter the blazing fire of Balaram's power. The sweetness caused by that bestows intense emotions in our hearts. Oh, look at the friendly affection of Krishna to his people. To protect them, he swallowed the forest fire. When he was in Pogonda age, without effort, his left arm became the large handle for the umbrella of Govardhan. Look at his extraordinary nature. He returned the Gandharva named Sudarshan to his beautiful form after he was born as a snake. Considering the jewel on Shankachuda a lowly raksha to be improper, he took the jewel from him, leaving his forehead bare. He killed the bull demon. Taking the ending I from the word Keshi, he made the name successful by taking it for himself in the word Keshaval. The beauty of his birth, the beauty of his Kumara years, the beauty of his Pagunda age, and the beauty of his Kaishora age immediately attract our hearts. Combining together, they now agitate us with strong greed. Remembering continually the parental affection of his first years, the friendship of many boys in his Pagunda age, the inconceivable love of the gopis and the glory of his Kaishora age, our minds cannot move forward. Let the mind go far into these pastimes, mix together and remain there like treasure within the house of a merchant. We have considered describing separation, which is useful for nourishing the various rasas, having similar attractiveness. Though the two reciters revealed Krishna's sweetness, most enchanting, in these rasas, they described in brief his going to Mathura, returning to Braj, and finally entering Goloka as described when Narada, both skillful at eliminating the burden of sorrow in the devotees, talked to Krishna, who was yearning for Braj. This is according to the principle that without separation, meaning is not nourished. When all heard about his description in the morning, the people of Braj, headed by Nanda, who was shining in the assembly in which Krishna was present as in other days, asked the two boys to elaborate on Krishna going to Mathura and other subjects. The wound dries up, and remembering it, one suffers intensely. Similarly, on hearing of one's own intensive suffering, the pain becomes agonizing and one cannot get rid of it. Even on meeting a friend after a long time, the unhappiness does not leave. Even if the lover embraces his neck, he cannot forget the sorrow. Thus, the gentle people of Braj did not describe these events themselves. Krishna made the two reciters describe these events in the assembly. When the people requested the two boys to speak, the two were overcome with happiness and sorrow. Just as Kusha and Lava sang in Rama's assembly, the two began reciting in Krishna's assembly. First, Snigdhakanta began speaking with eagerness, the auspicious invocation. I surrender to the goddess of speech in the form of Bhagavatam, the essence of all the Vedas, by whose conclusion and ras this new composition will attain authority. The story continues from the Purva Champu. As the cool rays of the moon rejoice at the waxing phase of the moon, and the waxing phase rejoices at the cool rays, the people of Braj rejoice because of Krishna, and Krishna rejoice because of them. As much as the people desired to satisfy Krishna, Krishna desired to satisfy them. There was no difference in this. Concerning non-difference, the wise give an example of a jiva naturally endowed with intelligence and other qualities. As water satisfies the thirsty person, food satisfies the hungry person, winter satisfies the hot person, and heat satisfies the cold person, Krishna satisfied the people of Braj and was eager to please them. Krishna resided simultaneously in the hearts of his father's brothers and sisters, and the sisters' husbands and those sisters' brothers-in-law, and in the hearts of the chief sisters of his mother and father, and they resided in his heart. He resided in them all according to the Upanishad's statement, Vasudeva is everything. The sapphire worships the beauty of his limbs, and the essence of beauty of the autumn lotus is conquered by his eyes. Carrying the sweet joy of his mother and father, should he not permeate everyone's intelligence? Filled with the bliss of caring for Krishna, like the turtle by thought, the fish by glancing, the cow by smelling, and the bird by touch, Nanda and Yashoda became stunned with waves of longing arising from desires which increased over time and which culminated fully during his Kaishora period. Balaram was so pleased every day with the affection that Krishna showed for him that people thought that Balaram, out of love, was spreading himself out like Sesha as Krishna's bed. Krishna, in relation to his friends like Sridham, was like the chief life heir in relation to the other bodily heirs. Always acting as one, they performed all their actions for one purpose, pleasing him. Served by his friends, Krishna was a likeness of the life heir of these boys who had bodies similar to his, for they could not exist without him or without service to him, and he had given himself to them. This is the example that a wise person gives. If the fragrance of Krishna's limbs, satisfying to the nose, spreads in the calves, cow pens, and forests, all the herds became sleepy by that. Otherwise, they are alert. Who in this universe will not have faith in him when the forest creatures become obedient and the inimical animals become friends because of his qualities? If this is so, Shukadev should describe in his work called Srimad Bhagavatam in bold script, but not before Krishna's birth. Though there was bliss in Braj, fear constantly arose because of various emissaries such as Putana sent by Kamsa for harassing Krishna. Therefore, there was no peace there. Understanding this, one desires to describe in Braja constantly the pastimes which destroy the fear in the heart. Snigdhakanta spoke to Nanda, who was remembering the suffering, in order to console him. Krishna, the ornament of his family, the cause of your anxiety in Gokul, destroys all fears and comes to your lap again. In this way, the discussion proceeded in the morning in Nanda's assembly. In a separate place, some distance away, Yashoda, Radha, and the other women listened to every syllable uttered nearby. As previously, with Krishna present in Radha's beautiful house at the end of night, the rest of the story was concluded by attainment of their conjugal pastimes. Snigdhakanta spoke concerning this. How can I describe the happiness that the gopis attained after controlling Krishna, whom Lakshmi, though residing on his chest as a golden lion after austerities, could not attain for festivals like Rasa Lila? The gopis possess completely the happiness of the Rasa and other festivals which Lakshmi cannot attain even in her dreams. How amazing! How can I describe the happiness of Radha, who controls Krishna, which the gopis, though desiring, cannot attain? Remembering the separation and becoming heated, Snigdhakanta remained silent. Then he again spoke, O my brother Madhukanta, I cannot describe freely this topic of separation. When the gopis were restrained by their praiseworthy family members and their nature became fixed, the pain arising from their love for Krishna, making them most unstable, caused them to reject all shame. It completely bewilders my mind. Looking at Radha's face full of tears, he spoke, Just as the sun stones hold the rays of the sun within themselves, and the moon stones hold the rays of the moon within themselves, Radha becomes either flaming or liquid on just thinking of Krishna. She bewilders my mind. He then returned to the topic. When he saw the gopis, he gave them a spurti of himself, not a direct encounter. When he touched them, he gave them a similar spurti, not a direct embrace. The gopis' perplexity breaks my heart. When Radha experienced this perplexity and secretly laughed in joy or cried in pain, at her laugh the whole universe became extremely joyful, and at her crying it became depressed. When the pastimes with Krishna and the bliss of the Rasa dance arrived, the gopis attained the highest happiness. Their experience of great suffering caused by separation, which sometimes appeared and disappeared, agitates my heart continually. Among all the gopis, Krishna has the most affection for Radha, since he previously kept her in his heart in an unusual way. O Lord, O most dear one, these few words of the gopis in separation had destroyed all my happiness. What should I say? What should I do? My mind burns on remembering how the shy women manifested their love for Krishna. But enough of this topic. Radha, casting her glances to the place where she thinks Krishna will appear, burns me up. The gopis would continually see Krishna in other objects, speak of Krishna in other speeches, and hear Krishna in other statements. Radha, however, did not become completely stunned, for the symptoms were strongly hidden. The manifestation of Krishna's prema should be mentioned. He who controls one Lakshmi controls all happiness. Krishna controlling billions of Lakshmis should therefore manifest billions of types of happiness. People see this, however, as having an appearance of suffering, depending on the particulars of rasa and pastimes. Krishna becomes pale when the gopis fade and rejoices when they are happy, just as compassionate people feel success in others' successes and loss in their losses. Because of his profound nature, Krishna did not become thin, just as the ocean does not have more or less water in spite of the inflow from rivers. But it was noticed that the woman who had love for him became thin because of separation. Though Krishna, on attaining the gopis, did not become independent, making them obediently serve him, he felt himself successful, thinking that he was their lover. What to speak of the women going for the appointment at the designated place? Their independent nature, making him serve them, gave Krishna joy. As Indra was anxious to regain the wealth stolen by Bali, Krishna always thought of Radha, who was like Chintamani among the gopis. When Krishna saw the gopis, the blinking of the eye was like a kalpa, and the eyelashes were like immovable mountains, and tears formed oceans. One could not tell if the women caused this condition in him, or he caused it in them. Has my Spurti met with my beloved, or have I directly met her? In this way, his intelligence was baffled. For when he showed Asperti, his body would burn within, and when he showed himself directly, all of his limbs would blossom with joy. Thus at every instant he was confused. Situations of grief which were described turned into descriptions of the extreme opposite. They transformed into situations of intense joy, just as one overcomes great obstacles to attain an inaccessible well in the desert. One cannot say that in describing all pastimes, one will achieve happiness. Look, look! In seeing the unrestricted association of Radha and Krishna during their Kaishora age, that happiness is achieved, for one can describe it to some degree. This is described as follows. The full manifestation of Kaishora appeared quickly with arousal of Mahabhav, which bewildered Krishna and the gopis. The Kaishora age of Krishna. I worship Govinda in his Kaishora form, like the moon, who was born from the milk ocean of Nanda, who shines brilliantly with all good qualities, but radiates black complexion, whose long eyes by their brilliance defeat the lotuses, whose beauty gives life to the Chakora bird's eyes of the gopis, and whose form stimulates love. The Kaishora age of the gopis. The Kaishora age of the gopis, like the full moon night, full of its digits, beautiful with lotus eyes blossoming in the moon of their faces, whose cheeks had become pale like the full moon, whose breasts shone like the brilliant groves of lotus buds, whose high hips shone like fresh, praiseworthy river banks, became visible to Krishna's eyes. Their two anuragas, like two moons, completely full in all respects, spread their influence everywhere in the oceans of Kaishora. At that time, the words of Garga forbidding the gopis' marriage to Krishna produced great consternation in all the people. If Krishna were to marry them, this would later create great confusion in Gokula when he left for Mathura. Garga's words forbade the mothers and fathers giving their daughters in marriage to Krishna. At that time, Yogamaya, who serves Krishna, hiding her identity as Purnamasi, performed great austerities, seeing no alternative, and she arranged for the marriage of the gopis using false forms, since all experiences would actually be false, like dream experiences in relation to waking up. Therefore, the gopis' association with those husbands was false. Shukadev has hinted at this in the Bhagavatam. The coward men, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained home at their sides. Thus, they did not harbor any jealous feelings against him. When this happened, Krishna and the gopis, with great attraction, somehow met secretly with great joy many times. After it was perceived by close associates, the elders gradually understood the relationship because of the appearance of great anurag. They feared the gopis must be having a relationship with Krishna, and deciding that the gopis going to the forest was wrong, forbade them from doing so. When this happened, Krishna approached the Brahmana Madhu Mangal, a very close friend fond of joking, and spoke, "Why have I not seen Radha and the other women for so many days?" Madhu Mangal said, "I think that the elders have prevented them." Krishna said, "Oh, how did the elders hear about these secret activities?" Madhu Mangal said, "What to speak of these women with great anuraga? An ordinary woman who has mental sickness has no internal or external awareness." Krishna said, "Previously the elders prevented them from going inside or outside the town. What is different now?" Madhu Mangal said, "Though this topic, which is unfavorable for Rati, does not come from my mouth with pleasure, because of your question, I will speak about it. This topic, well known by the protectors of the families, was thus heard by me. You should see how they got scolded." "Ah, what misfortune! What are you thinking? Why are you breathing heavily? Why are you looking at the path? Why are you looking at the face of your friend? Why are tears falling on your breast? Why are you fainting? Why are you uttering the word Krishna quietly to your friend constantly? Why are your hairs standing on end? Why are you trembling?" When they are guarded by the protectors of the family, the gopis' faces wilt. Hear in summary how they speak to their mothers. "These guardians block my vision with their bodies. They block what I should hear by their speech. They block me from smelling by supplying fragrant incense. How can any method cover up this condition of my mind filled with Krishna? Oh mother, why are you uselessly becoming angry with me?" When Krishna heard Madhu Mangal's description, his color faded. Deliberating on the news, he dismissed Madhu Mangal, thought for a long time, and then made a decision. "My elders have heard the gossip about my enjoying with the gopis. Most of the most famous elders will hear this. How will I be delivered from this obstacle?" His mind went blank for a moment, and then he thought again. "As I am defamed in this way, the solution is to leave Braja. Where defamation is impossible to remove, the well-bred person should go far away. The defamation will disappear with time. Time is the remedy. Therefore, it is best if I reside separately from Braja in peace. By great misfortune, there will be complete disruption of the affection of my father, mother, and others in Braj, which is my very life." He again thought something else. "Let the life heirs leave the body, and let the body leave the life heirs. But how can I give up all the gopis, who are like my life heirs?" He thought in another way. "A man and woman cannot bear separation in the same house, but can bear it by being distant from each other. But ah, O Radha, giving fame to Brishapanu and Kirtita, from birth you thought only of me. From infancy you gave joy to all by your tender body, words, and mind. You will be completely disturbed by the intense fire of separation from me. You have burned in grief by not meeting with me or meeting with me for a short time, since nothing else could be done. O beloved, though I am your faithful lover, how will you live when I in full cruelty desire to give you up, O Radhika, complete in all happiness? Where will you go in your afterlife?" Meeting Madhu Mangal, he informed him of the inauspicious situation. The elders understood the situation in locking up Radha and the other gopis because the guards surrounded them on all sides. Since it was impossible for Krishna to attain the gopis by his present incomplete thoughts, Krishna, filled with longing, spent the night playing with his friends. Why dwell on things which trouble the heart? Saying this, the reciter concluded, "O Radhika, it was not possible that I spoke unpleasant topics. I am eager to speak of the wealth prema possessed by you too. Previously, I spoke of topics which produce raga for Krishna. Look, the Lord of your life desires your mercy. When the reciter had reached this point in the story and concluded, and had made them accept that nothing of those pastimes remained to be told, they returned to their houses in bliss. Radha and Krishna went to their own sleeping room with joyous desire.